Ladies and gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Hey, welcome back. Hey, we're back. We're back from Chicago. That's right, Chicago. Yes, it is. It could be. You know, Dr. Ted, right? Dr. Ted Brower. It's good to be back on. It's good to be back here in our studios. And I just want to say this: we had such a great, you know, we met so many great people in Chicago. It was just fabulous. Pastor Paul Begley, Awakened to the Shaken. We had a great crowd Friday and Saturday, and it was just fantastic. Thanks to everyone we met. I mean, we were humbled. I certainly was humbled by the response and by the people and by everyone there. It was just a great crowd. And, you know, Russ Dizdar, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Did he ever do a... Well, he did a fantastic... He does a fantastic job all the time. But I was absolutely riveted by him, and so was Joe. And Joe did a really great presentation as well. And, wow. In the meantime, Just wow. Yeah, I better turn this off, right? Do you like those dings? That's what happens when you travel. You come back and things aren't quite right, you know, with everything. Just the fact I set this up earlier and, hey, you know how it goes. I spent about 20 minutes looking for my deodorant today. Thinking, oh, okay, I packed it, I know. Coming back from Chicago, a little personal. Sorry about that, but you know, you get really messed up when you travel, right? Oh yeah. Anyway, it's good to be back. Hey, France, hello. Anyone seen France lately? We're going to be talking about France as well. We've got a great show lined up for you today as well. We've got here's the layout. Gerald Salenti is going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour, and then of course we've got. Inspector Miker from the RCMP talking about some interesting current events with respect to the financial crimes, among other things, the things that are taking place all across the world. It's going to be a very interesting show. But again, my thanks to all of you who did show up in Chicago, and I was just absolutely amazed by the, you folks are great. You really are. I mean, it's, you guys are the best. Portion of this broadcast brought to you by Policy Genius. That's right. Many people think, you know, life insurance is too expensive for them, right? Or many people don't have life insurance. Did you know that, an amazing facts with respect to the policy or with respect to life insurance? It's so many people don't have life insurance. Well, we have the solution for you. PolicyGenius.com. Folks, go to PolicyGenius.com. Let me spell it for you. That's PolicyGenius.com. You can save over 40% off other prices for life insurance. They've got other products as well, but this is where we go for life insurance. That's PolicyGenius.com. Interesting. Interesting that many people don't have life insurance, and that causes financial devastation to families. It really does. Prepare. And, you know, I'm interested to know. I'm kind of wondering what you folks think about France. I know that we've seen so much news. When we were coming back from Chicago and wrapping up Chicago, we were looking at the various news feeds. To see the I was looking at Eric the Tech over here. By the way, I want to thank Stephen Minking and Randall Terry,
Ted Brewer, Sheila Zielinski.
Wait a second. I gotta say this. Randall Terry and Stephen Minking did one bang up job. We were in the parking lot that's known as the Skyway in Chicago, and listening.
Yeah,
to
folks,
that.
Don't ever drive through Chicago during rush hour.
Don't ever drive through Chicago. Period.
My goodness, we were turned a 7.5 hour drive into a 10 hour drive just because, you know, we didn't leave at the time we wanted to. We planned on
late.
A time to leave, and we wanted to get, you know, into Chicago by 3 o'clock and on the other side. Didn't work out. We didn't get there till about 4:15, 5 maybe, and we didn't get out of there till about 7:30.
Yeah,
and it was, you know, you're talking about a matter of 10 miles over 2 hours.
Yeah, and
so that was fun.
Yeah, it was. We as we sat there, we had our vehicle graffitied, our rims stolen, hubcap stolen, and you know, I'm kidding, of course. But it was something. Anyone there? Anyone in our? I'm not monitoring chat. I can't see chat. But I'm just wondering if anyone in the chat room. That's affixed to our YouTube. It was.
You know,
in
we
Chicago.
Met somebody in Chicago who's in the chat regularly. Ms.
Right.
ZD.
Right.
Got a chance to talk with her. As you go, when you go to every conference, you meet all kinds of listeners, and you know, one thing that's interesting about. Doing these is some people travel from very far away. No matter where you go, they'll come there, and that's awesome.
You know,
another thing that's really awesome about it is, you know, like in Dallas or in Florida, you get a majority of people who are just from that surrounding area. And Chicago, Wisconsin was no different. They were about 85% of the people that were there, Illinois and Wisconsin.
Yeah. Here's my concern. There's 9.4 million people in the greater Chicago area, and my question is, why wasn't there, like, you know, 9,000 people signed up or, you know, wanting to register? And the reason is, that's not taking anything away from the people that were there. The way I look at it is this, and folks, you can it's up to you, but my view on it is this: we don't do these conferences very often. We just don't. It's for a lot of reasons, we just don't do them. But having said that, when we were there, the people who were there, to me, represent the people who really care. That's not to say that if you weren't there, you don't care, because there's a lot of things happen. You know, travel, I can't get there, it's scheduled. We understand all of that. But the number of people, everyone there represented to me just a real caring individual that really cared about things and really wants the truth. And I everyone I met to me was just, I don't know, I very near and dear to my heart. So, and you know, it's something when someone comes up to you and say, you know, we listen to your show, and we try to talk to everybody. We really do. And they're so kind. You're so kind. Each and every one of you are kind. Also, Portion Ice Broadcast brought to you by Sherry's Berries. We're going to have a contest, Sherry's Berries. Stick around to 9:30. We are going to be giving away, gift certificates for Sherry's Berries, okay? It's going to be fun. We're going to have like a little contest at the end of the show. Oh, it's going to be fun. Sherry's Berries. Go to Berries, B-E-R-R-I-E-S, Berries.com, Berries.com. They're a great company. They really are. You'll love their chocolate covered strawberries and other berries. It's berries.com, Berries. And of course, John Robertson, another announcement, and then we're going to get to the news here. John Robertson is in studio. Not right at the moment. Not at this moment, but he's in our town. He's with us. And we're doubling down. The message I want to give to each and every one of you listening, the message I want to give to the people who say that there are enemies, the people who are involved in, shall we say, the New World Order agenda, advancing the New World Order agenda, the people who are attempting to take us off the air, not just us, but all of the conservative talk shows, whether it's us, InfoWars, Hodges, I mean, you name, you know, you insert show name here. I have a message for all of you. We're coming for you. We're coming for you. We're coming for you. It's not a threat. It's a promise. We are coming for you. And trust me when I tell you, we are locked, loaded, and serious. You're going to see some things change here. Our mandate has changed. We're not going to be slapped around anymore. No way in the world. And we, as far as I'm concerned, we, for the listeners of this show, we are your voice. For the people in the chat room, we are your voice. For the people who are part of the conservative movement, we are your voice. For the people who give a damn, we are your voice. We are going to come after the people who have these children in cages. It exists. It's real. I don't care how much you want to wish it away or how much you think, well, Christians shouldn't. Oh, I'm just going to pray it away. Bull crap. We are coming after you. I'm going to be publishing a few things. And we met with Craig Sawyer, you know, the Sawman in Chicago. Landscape's going to change, my friends. I mean, Craig Sawyer, he won't tell you this. He's a Navy SEAL expert. You give him a Kleenex and a straw, he'll kill you five different ways with either one of them. But I'll tell you one thing. That doesn't matter. He's got a heart for God. He's got a heart for what's right and what's true. And he's got a heart for the children who are being molested and held captive. But I guarantee you this. We are not going to be silenced. We're not going to be... I'm pumped. I looked in the eyes of people, and Joe, you did too, in the eyes of people there where were we? Chicago. I was going to say D.C., but Chicago. There's some hurting people. We'll be your voice. All right.
Let's go back to the French election real quick.
Let's do that.
Some interesting statistics and things that I want to get into. As many of you know, as my dad already said, that Macron has won. Now, I'm sure we're going to hear more about these types of things in the days to come. It's a little early. There's some people that are saying that the French elections were stolen. What I'm looking at is not evidence of a stolen election, but maybe manipulation of some votes. In France, they do a number of ballots that are mailed, and if the mailed ballot has any damage on them, then they are not allowed to be counted. I'm looking at a picture, tears on the ballots, and they have the name. If you mail your ballot in, the name of who you're voting for is on the front of your envelope, and there's no other information on there. And I'm sure there's something inside, or these are in the envelopes. But anyway, you know, tears and different things. Also, there's a talk that Macron had a number of 500,000 ballots that they didn't plan on sending out. They were extra, but they were nowhere to be found after the election. But he won by 10 million votes. That's why I don't know. As I said, you're going to hear more about this coming out in the days, maybe weeks to come. But what I find interesting is the terror attack history in France in the last few years. And there's been a number of articles that have been done on this, but after six deadly Islamist attacks and 130 deaths in 3 years, Paris votes 90% for Macron. And this article from the Gateway Pundit goes through not only when these terror attacks took place, but, you know, the dates, how many deaths, how many injuries. And since January 2nd of 2015, there have been 238 dead people and almost 900 injured directly related to terrorist attacks. Most of them are stabbings. You have some shootings. You have it starts with the Charlie Hebdo attacks, and it goes on from there. But, you know, yesterday there were Muslims praying in the streets over the Le Pen loss. That's got to tell you a lot. Many people are disappointed. They don't understand how it went so wrong with the election, but you know, this is the way it is. So It will be interesting to see how long until the next terror attack in France.
Well, it's everyone's got to understand what this election means, in my view anyway. With the victory there, or the defeat of the nationalist candidate, France has just said, or the people of France have said, okay, we're willing to be assimilated or just be invaded and be occupied. I mean, this to me, this is the white flag of surrender. The mental illness, I believe, that this represents, or at least the, maybe that's too harsh in reality. It is the pollution of one's thought process with the lies of the corporate media. This is the result of that. I happen to catch some MSNBC, some coverage from MSNBC, and it's amazing to see the joy that they're finding in this alien invasion of Europe, and the anticipation for America, this to happen in America, continuing to happen in America. You might think, well, what does France have to do with anything in America? Europe, of course. What happens in Europe, it makes its way here. I don't even know what to say about this, Joe, about the French. I really don't know. What more can be said? And that's where I'm at. What more can be said, Joe, about this?
Nothing more, really. I mean, it is what it is. and I don't know. I believe I saw the final percentage tally today, and I believe he won by the final percentage of Macron's vote was 66.06%. Some are saying, you know, oh, that's a sign, and you know, that's something that these globalists are doing, you know, purposely putting that number there, showing that the destruction of France and the destruction of Europe through this infiltration and through the immigration and the open borders is what they're going for. Now, it can't be denied that with these open border policies, with these, you know, mass migration, globalist tactics that they're using, the increase in terror attacks have to be directly related to the change in the culture and the immigration population being brought in.
Okay, here's the bottom line, I believe, Joe, if I can say this. And Pastor Bill Randles had said this very well. The once relatively strong nations have been weakened, and perhaps fatally, through the ongoing injection of hostile, angry, incompatible hordes of Muslims, most of whom immediately go on the public dole, forcing European taxpayers to support those who hate them and everything that they stand for. This is what the New World Order, Democrat, progressive, communist idiots want for every country and in this country. This is what they are, this is what they're after, and this is what they got. You know, and again, citing Pastor Bill Randles, if you could search him on the internet, Marie Le Pen gained almost 35% of the vote in the recent elections in France. Now, this, in spite of the incredible level of demonization she was subjected to by the world press, and she got that. You notice how the print media and the corporate media has demonized the people, the people who have national pride and who care about borders, language and culture, according to, I'm citing, of course, Dr. Michael Savage. The French press, the cable media, the world elite, and of course the collusion of nearly all of the other candidates running in the election. She ran against incredible odds. 35% of French chose her. They want change. They feel the need for security. They want borders and some degree of national sovereignty, as we do as well. They have had enough of the Islamic invasion, as we have had enough of this Islamic invasion. The international globalist elite, they're, I'm sure, and quoting Pastor Bill Randles as well, they're breathing a sigh of relief, but this result shows that there are cracks. The 35% shows that there are crafts widening in Europe, in the European Union. And, you know, people talk about the Civil War coming here, coming to this country, and I believe there will be one. It's just a matter of if or time or when, not if. There's a growing groundswell of the French who do not want to say goodbye to their culture. And with this, the election of this globalist, I'm sure, will. The international globalist elite, again, breathing this sigh of relief now. Oh, good. And Bill Randall's pastor, he cites the Daniel chapter 2, verses 40 to 43. I'm not going to read that. You can look it up in your Bibles, but at the time of the Gentiles is referenced. It's a good article that was published on May 8th, which is today, for those calendar challenged. And it's a great article. So
I was calendar challenged today.
We were talking. The hour difference really screws you up. Okay. And John, poor John, you know, he's 3 o'clock in the morning. He's tweeting out stuff. John, it's 3 a.m. You know, you're not in Seattle. You're on the East Coast. Okay. And John's walking around saying, where am I? Where am I? In Chicago, it's like two hours difference. He's okay. He only walked in the one wall. I walk in them naturally. But anyway. But you know, coming here, it's like, so he sits down and he says, okay, what day is this and what time? But you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, I hear this noise. He's staying with us. I hear this noise. Making toast. Making toast.
Well, with those hours, he can stay.
3 o'clock.
He can stay with you.
He's tweeting stuff out at 3:30. So I got up and joined him. We sat in the balcony overlooking the vast in-ground pool and the vast property, expansive property. The guards came out. And, you know.
Folks, we got a great guest coming up. Gerald Celente will be joining us after the break. Many of you know him. He is a researcher who deals in trends. He's a financial guy. And the trendsresearch.com is his website. Trendsresearch.com. He's an American trend forecaster, publisher of the Trends Journal, business consultant, and author who makes predictions about the global and national financial markets. He's going to be coming on the show. We're going to be talking with him in the next segment. So, and then we got,
you think?
I'm having a hard time. No, I'm having a hard time readjusting.
Kind to us, ladies and gentlemen. Please.
It's weird. A lot of changes. Working with a new computer here. Don't have my email up yet. We were doing
yeah,
some.
Yeah, that's your excuse, right?
And then we got back. You know, last night had time to sleep or whatever, and then we were back up at it today, working out of the studio. So we haven't really had time to decompress or just.
No.
I guess when the weekend comes, this next weekend we can do that.
Thanks to Dr. Ted Brower, his son Austin, for Friday's, AdLink Friday's show. And of course, thanks to, once more, thanks to Stephen Manking and Randall Terry for, taking Thursday's show. You guys were great. Again, fantastic. Thank you.
And I actually enjoyed listening to, the opening that Randall Terry.
Oh, he kicked some butt, didn't he?
Yeah, he really did. He had us intensely listening as we were in the car, and you know, he talked about how it was a mistake, how the insurance companies, you know, make their how the insurance world works, with the insurance companies taking your money and paying out money for claims, and yeah, that was very good. And Menking was awesome too. I know he had some audio issues in the beginning, but those got cleared up. And then Ted Brower and Austin Brower, always very good. They're hosts here on Global Star Radio Network.
Well, I had to give Eric a dressing down because there's a .45 caliber hole in the wall next to his desk. Now, I'm the only one allowed to shoot off weapons in the office or in the studio out of anger. But apparently something happened. I'm not sure which day or what happened, but there's a hole in the wall. And, Eric's denying it, but ballistics, that'll tell the tale.
Absolutely. Folks, go to HagmanReport.com. And it was a little rough while we were traveling to keep up with the site, but we have updated it, and we're going to continue to do so. Stephen Menking posted an article there this morning, and I'm going to pull this up right now. And thanks for putting that on the screen, Eric. HagmanReport.com is our website for news and information. as well as the show, daily show descriptions and weekly show rundown. And almost there. Yeah, Men King posted an article. Maybe we, maybe there was a change in the website. Or
yeah.
Well, no, I was on it this morning, and it wasn't like this. But yeah, we're revamping the website. I know we were going to get a new
mandate. I'm going to tell you right now, new mandate, new purpose.
Okay.
We have new blood. We are pushing forward. This is, we're putting all of the people on notice. And I'm going to tell you something. We have not, you know, we did not draw first blood. You did.
So the, James Clapper and Sally Yates testified in front of Congress today. And for those of you who don't remember, Yates, who was fired for her refusal to back the president's controversial immigration order, gave her account to Congress today in regards to the National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, as well as Clapper. Clapper was asked if he was the anonymous leak for the Hillary Clinton DNC information, which he said no. But we're going to have more on...
Yeah, he admitted it all.
We're going to have more on this later, on their testimony, as some of the news from that's still breaking. But there's some interesting tidbits that folks need to hear. So when we come back, we're going to be joined by Gerald Celente. Again, his website is trendsresearch.com. That's trendsresearch.com. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to this edition of the Hagmann & Hagmann Report.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagmann. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagmann takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmannandHagmann.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. We've got a treat for you. One of my favorite people, economic forecasters in the entire, on the planet. And that's not, this is not false. This is Gerald Celendi. Gerald Celendi is, trendsresearch.com. That's trendsresearch.com. He has been, delivering forecasts and multiple analyses across multiple platforms for what
since 1980.
Yeah, since 1980. And I was it was interesting because I Joe very quickly I happened to see we had an old trends journal from I think this was from 2012 maybe 2013 I can't remember the date, and I looked at it, I was reading it, and everything that was in that edition. He nailed it. Nailed it. And, I should do an article on that because it's phenomenal. So if you want to be ahead of the curve, here's what you need to do. You need to go to trendsresearch.com. That's trendsresearch.com.
And don't just stop with the Trends Journal. Check out the books that he's written.
Absolutely.
Definitely, very interesting. And interviews, there's lots, if you see, on our screen, if you're watching on YouTube, that's the Gerald Celendi's website, Trends Journal or Trends Research. On the left-hand side, he's got interviews, TV trends, I mean, just all kinds of content, folks. Not only go to his website and bookmark it, but if you can, subscribe to his website. It's a great tool to have. You know, he's been giving excellent and very successful forecasting strategies for a long time.
You know, I would say this, the perhaps the best value of the Trends Journal, and he has a mark down here, for 3 years, $225, $99 a year. You cannot not afford to, folks, you cannot not afford to have this. Trust me when I tell you, the information is invaluable, especially at that price. And if you're disabled, if you're financially strapped, disabled, whatever, click on the special link there underneath and you'll see it. And maybe they can work something out with you. But without any further ado, Gerald Celendi. Gerald, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to open this up by asking you, France, what's going on there? France, white flag or what?
Thank you very much for that wonderful introduction. It's very kind of both of you. Thank you. France, they just elected Obama. And as you well know, I'm a political atheist. That's, by the way, we attribute a lot of the success of what we do because we look at things for the way they are, not the way we want them to be. So when you go to a doctor, you get a diagnosis. You don't care if it's race, creed, color. You want the diagnosis. So we just give the diagnosis. So France just elected their Obama, 39-year-old guy who has experience in nothing other than, and this is no conspiracy theory, he's one of the Rothschild boys, member of the Rothschild banking system. No credentials at all, BS'd his way into office. As I said, they just elected an Obama. But the most interesting aspect, two of them, interesting, is that number one, that he just began this party about a year ago. And it shows Americans that, no, we don't have to be beholden to the two-headed one-party system. People like to call the Democrats and Republicans. I prefer to call them the Bloods and the Crips, considering the amount of murder and thievery both of them have, you know, been involved in with facts, you know, over the years. So it shows you the opportunity. Number two is that these populist movements in Europe are fading out because of the people that are fronting them. So you just had an election recently in the Netherlands with the Geert Wilders, and he went off on a tangent, and so did Le Pen. So the people are looking for the change, and that's one of the reasons we had forecast in the Trends Journal back in May of 2016 that Trump would win. It wasn't the messenger, it's the message. And people are looking for a different message. But going back to the election with Macron in France, you look at, it's very similar in ways to our election where you had both candidates in the United States with negative ratings in the 60 percentile. And that was before and as people left the polls. And the same thing in France. You just had an election. They had the lowest turnout since 1969. 12% of the people kept the ballots blank. They voted for nobody. And what this guy's doing, by the way, as I said, it's just putting the Rothschilds, giving that whole European Euro group, the Euro, you know, the deal with the Euro, the currency, more strength. And he's also building up the military, keeping the place into a police state. And I have to tell you, I always get, you look at this guy, couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag. And he's talking about how he's going to protect the country. I can't stand guys like this. What they're going to do is they're going to turn the joint in more into a police state. So that's what the election's about.
Mr. Salente, since we're talking about France, and we see that there are some interesting numbers on Drudge today that show the amount of terror attacks, 6 terror attacks in the last 3 years with 280 some dead, over 800 injured. Do we expect to see, these terrorist attacks continue? Yesterday we were told that there were Muslims praying in the streets, celebrating that they were happy that, the nationalist and Nazi Marie Le Pen didn't win. Do you expect to see something sooner than later in France, or do you believe that they'll give a little bit of room for the new government? Not that they care, but what would you say?
No, well, again, let's go back to when were we afraid of ISIS? When did all this happen? Does anybody talk about the cause and effect? So let's suppose we're Iraqis, and we live in this country that was just bombed into smithereens because of lies that our leader had weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. We're young guys, over 1 million people are dead. Everybody we love is dead. We have no future, our country is destroyed. You think we become radicalized? Now let's go to France. They can't get over their imperialist colonization trip. Go back to our trends journals back to 2012. Another little kid invaded the country over there, 2012, 2013. I'm not sure which year. Mali. We got to stop them terrorists. Oh, you mean you're not over there because of you need the uranium because you have more nuclear power than any other country? And you're controlling in Niger, you're controlling on the border of Mali, you're controlling all the uranium. And then you read in the Trends Journal, after France attacked there and they slaughtered hundreds of people, they said, "We're going to get even with you." We wrote about it in detail. As a matter of fact, it was even reported in the New York Times, which I refer to as they call themselves the paper of record. I prefer the toilet paper of record because of the propaganda they put out. But here they even reported, "You're going to get blowback from this. What right do you have to go into a foreign country?" So as long as they keep staying, these countries, including the United States, invading other countries, bombing them the hell out of them, killing people, guess what? They're going to call it terror strikes. Where I come from, they call it getting even. And that's what they're doing in France. And again, you have these laws. I have to tell you, everybody, I'm only 15 minutes away from Woodstock, New York. We're in Colonial Kingston, just a bit south of it. And it's filled with these quiche-eating grin liberals with their balsamic smile. And they talk about how we have to open the borders for immigration. And I say to them, why don't you all take the door off the front of your house and let everybody in that you want? You want people to come in? You feed them, you clothe them, you pay for their education and health care. Don't ask me to do it. Let's go back to France. How did they get all these people in there? It couldn't have been the wars they waged in Algeria that flooded people in. And now they're doing it again. So what I'm saying is the leaders, if we want to call them that, are destroying their countries. And it's global. And it's getting worse. And we're at a breaking point of it.
You know, that was, by the way, folks, that was the issue that you cited. And again, I don't have it. It's in my office. But you nailed that with respect to Mali and and such. But thank you for that. All right. So that's France. That's Europe. Mr. Salendi, what about the United States here? We only have one segment here with you. What do you see taking place? We've got Trump in office. You called that, too, as you said. You called that back. If you're a Trend subscriber, folks, you've seen that coming back in May. What do you see taking place here in the U.S. economically and as a blowback for some of the things that we see taking place geopolitically and domestically with respect to the politics of Donald Trump and the antagonism that is being waged against him?
We did a 180 right after Trump got elected, and we became more positive on the economy and negative on gold. And I've been very positive on gold because dollar is going to get stronger, will continue to, although it's in a little downdrift now. Compared to the rest of the world's currencies and economies, the United States is, again, we're not going to be booming, but we're doing better. And you're starting to see it in some of the numbers. So we don't look at we look at a market correction. The market shot up, it's over 10%. And it's going to correct, but we don't see a crash. On the geopolitical front, it's a mixed message. And one of the issues is the White House is filled with generals. Whether it's the head of the Defense Department, filled with military contractors, the administration. So on that level, we're a bit concerned. Trump said one thing as candidate Trump, and then as we saw him as President Trump, 59 missiles going into Syria and the mother of all bombs going off in Afghanistan, and now they're talking about continuing that war as well. So on the war front, we don't see it very positive, but we don't know because we're getting mixed messages again. They're having this safe zone in Syria, and it appears that the United States may go along with it. And so that's a positive. And again, on the economy, again, it's not whether we like it or dislike it. It's better for business. It's not may not necessarily be better for all of us, but it's going to improve the business climate under Trump, and it's showing it already with the strength of the stock markets. Remember, I mean, what is this? We're in May, so that's what? December, January, February, March, April, May? We have 6 months of a booming stock market? That's not a fluke.
Yeah, and positive, the real job numbers, it does appear that we've got positive growth in the employment sectors all across the board.
There's a problem, though, with the job numbers. And that is that the jobs being created. Most of them, you look at the last numbers, they're in healthcare, and I love the term they use, hospitality sector. Oh, you mean a waiter and a waitress and somebody making beds in a hotel. So we don't have high-paying jobs. And going back to the economy and being better for corporations, their earnings are way up. Profits are good. But real wages have only gone up 2.5%. And when you look at the real inflation rate, not the one they rigged under Clinton, which isn't a real inflation rate for we the people, it's either flat or low. So, yes, we're more people are employed. But here's some numbers. Since Obama got elected, 95% of the jobs created, 94% of the jobs created, according to a Harvard-Princeton study, are temporary jobs. And then you look at the wage, the wealth created under Obama to now, 95% of the wealth, depending on whose numbers you're looking at, either went to the 1% or the top 5%. So yes, we have more employment. Here's another number. 51% of the people working full-time are earning $30,000 a year or less.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Back to the jobs numbers, Mr. Salente. Do you believe that that is due to the confidence that Trump is in the administration is going to continue to ease business regulations and keep a stranglehold?
You mean
on
the favorable economic job numbers?
Yeah, the favorable, is that confidence in Trump, or is he doing something to actually help these changes along?
Is that, in other words, I would ask, is that kind of a flavor of irrational exuberance? To quote someone.
Yes and no, in the sense that consumer confidence is high, small business confidence is high, but then you see, the news, again, the current events forming future trends. Infosys, for instance, the Indian company, so they're going to invest, a couple of hundred million. Either Apple or one of them, Microsoft, I forgot which one, says they're going to invest a billion. These are positive elements. And so that has an effect. Emotions count, but so too do deeds. So yes, there's an artificial buildup, but there's a base for it. And again, renegotiating these trade deals, they have to be renegotiated. You know, when Johnson was president, they had a thing called the chicken tax. The United States was flooding Germany with cheap chicken, so they put a tax on them. And then Johnson said, we're going to put a tax on your Volkswagens coming in here, Volkswagen buses. There was a 23% tax. That didn't stop them from coming in, but it gave a level playing field. And then when Clinton came in, he took off those taxes with NAFTA. So the Chinese are about business. They're going to renegotiate these deals. You know, there's a big lie going on in China. As a matter of fact, it's one of our top trends, buy and sell China. People should watch what's going on there. They're buying up the world. But if you want to export your cars made in the United States into China, you're hit with, like, I think a 25% tax. But we'll make a deal with you. You make your cars over here. Oh, no, but you can't open up your own firm. You have to go in partners with one of our buddies. Oh, and you can't own a majority. You have to be a 49% max owner with aircraft, with technology, with everything. China was making junk clothes. Now they're making airplanes. They're making electric cars. They gave our technology away for a buck. So what I'm saying is you got a guy like Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary. Would I want to do business with Wilbur Ross? No way. But would I want him representing me? You bet. So these are positives.
Good. Good. Okay. All right. So your outlook in general from just the last 5 months is somewhat positive, is what I'm getting in terms of the economic aspect and Donald Trump, the businessman deal maker, right? Is that
yes,
kind of, okay.
much more positive than it had. Again, we were going negative with the economy and strong on gold. We did a 180 5 days after Trump got elected. I said to our crew, I said, no, this is real. I said, I've been around long enough. This vibe is strong. And again, here we are now today, for example. Throughout, it came down a little lower, but both the NASDAQ and the Dow hit new highs.
And do you expect that to barring anything that, do you expect that to continue generally until something else happens? I mean, that's an interesting question. But
we expect a correction. There's no question about it, but we don't see a crash. Unless there's a wild card.
Okay.
You know, a war, whatever, you know, something like that. But we don't see a crash, no.
Good.
We see a correction. And again, it's very important. I was talking about China. There's something in our business we call a Dr. Copper. Copper is like a PhD when you're looking at the economy. China gobbles up 40% of the world's copper. Copper is now has been really getting hit hard lately. That's a signal, because you use copper in just about everything. You know, automobiles, technology, on and on and on, housing, commercial, residential. So when copper prices start getting hit, our alarm goes up, and another one is iron ore. Again, the prices are being knocked out bad. And then China just came out yesterday with their GDP, with their import-export numbers. They were below expectations. This is the world's second largest economy. So there's going to be a global slowdown as we see it. Will it have an effect in the United States? Of course it will, but only 12% of our GDP is export-based, thanks to Bill Clinton. And we lost, several million jobs because manufacturing jobs. So even though they slow down there, it's not that our country is booming, but we're solid. And we think that solidness is going to continue. On another cautionary note, too much commercial building in high income areas, whether it's San Francisco, Dallas, New York, LA, you know, in the hot areas, too much commercial has gone up, and you're going to start seeing a downtick in that as well.
So it's kind of a reaction to, I think I understand that. Okay, I get that. Before we run out of time, so many people have asked since we announced you're coming on. I've got 2-3 pages of emails from people all over the world asking us to ask you your opinion on North Korea. What do you see happening there with respect to the antagonism going on from the Chia Pet over there?
Well, again, you know, we have to watch out for North Korea. I've been hearing this all my life. I think they invaded Afghanistan, or was it Iraq? I think they went into, they got rid of Gaddafi because he had to go. He was a bad man. And I think he wanted Assad to go and his 500,000 dead in Syria. Of course, I'm being facetious. I talked about the French in Mali, and the United States now is in Somalia. This is so blown out of proportions. This is a country. West Virginia has a bigger GDP than North Korea. There are more people in New York State than in North Korea. Their missiles go 37 miles and blow up. This is antagonism. I went back to China. You know, there's an election going on. I think it's tomorrow, actually, in South Korea. They don't want the THAAD missile system brought to you by Lockheed Martin Marietta that we the people pay for in South Korea, the Chinese. This is a big issue. They started a trade war against South Korea for putting up that THAAD missile system because China knows it's aimed at them, not North Korea. And China keeps saying to Americans and South Koreans, please stop these provocative acts with all of your military maneuvers off the coast of North Korea. Leave them alone. But no, we're not going to leave them alone. We're going to show them who's boss. So again, you got this new guy. This is very important for everyone to watch the election in South Korea. His name is Moon. He wants peace with North Korea. He wants Americans out of South Korea. We've never signed a peace deal from the Korean War. It's an armistice. North Korea's been asking to meet with the United States for years. The United States has refused. So again, this is another country. The reason they want a nuclear weapon, they've made this very clear. They said, look what happened to Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi when they didn't go nuke. You're not going to get rid of us. We're keeping our nukes. That's the story.
And thank you for that. And that's the sobering reality. Like it or not, folks, that is the very sobering reality. A lot of truth to that. And we thank you. And thanks to all those who have sent those questions in about North Korea, Joe.
I got a question. We only have a few minutes left, Mr. Salente, but I wanted to make sure I asked you this while you're on the show because it pertains to a lot of people and what they plan to do this summer and fall season. The price of oil, what do you expect to see with oil prices? I know that there are some things going on with Iran and Saudi Arabia that might drive up the prices, but do you expect to see the 30 to 50 cents increase per gallon for the summer months?
There's an oversupply right now. The stockpiles are really big with gasoline as well. There's too much production. And they just keep talking. We don't get it right all the time. I didn't know there'd be quantitative easing or zero interest rate policy, so you get things wrong on that end, when they change the game. But Saudi Arabia, they're cutting back 1.8 million barrels a day. That's not enough to make up for the oversupply. Do you realize that the United States is going to be the world's largest producer of gas and oil by 2020? Right now, we're almost even with Saudi Arabia and Russia. The amount of rigs that have gone back online since oil hit the low in 2016 is up 123%.
Wow.
There's more supply than demand. I was just talking about Dr. Copper and iron ore. It's supply and demand. So I don't see gasoline prices going up. again, absent, like what you pointed out, if there's a conflict with Iran or something else happens in the Middle East. And again, you got the Saudi Arabia's off the charts, man. People aren't talking about them. Oh, our great allies. Hey, you want to talk about radical Muslim fundamentalists, man? Woof. Hey, don't put those women in a car. Don't let them drive. You know, they're at it. Whoa, they're way out. Hey, behead anybody today? Oh, you had a quiet day. Nobody got beheaded. So if you don't have a blow up in the Middle East, we don't see oil prices going up. We're looking at the levels we're at now and possibly even lower.
Fantastic. Mr. Salani, we're at the end of the segment. I just want to say thank you so much. And folks, trendsresearch.com, that's Mr. Salani's website, his Trends Journal, the best out there, the best money can buy. I'll tell you what, if you only can buy one newsletter, one information source, that's it, Trends Journal.
It absolutely is.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you kindly.
God bless you, my friend. Thank you.
All the best. Thanks, guys.
Have a good night.
Wow. And he's got, I mean, he's not 100%, but 98%, 99%, right?
Well, yeah, when you're looking at trends, not all trends are telling the future, but they are a good indicator and a place to start. You tie that in with everything else, all the other key factors, you can connect this to what's going to help the markets or fluctuate the markets, and you can get a pretty good picture of what's going on.
Yeah, I'm telling you, though. Really, I was looking at that journal
well.
2 years ago, and I was thinking, it was like, wow, it was almost like reporting history, but it was in advance. Go ahead.
We'll be right back after these short messages. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to this edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable. It's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces. It's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly. Yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smoke. Smokeless and fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.